Next time you come, you won't be a visitor. You'll be one of us, okay? So welcome. Thank you for being here with us today. All right, so let me do... I know we've missed a little bit on our birthdays, anniversaries, but let's get caught up here. So according to what I have here in October, anniversaries, Dr. Stevens... anniversary. Was that yesterday? Is that right?
27 years.
Awesome. 27 years, man. I hope you get 57. That's what it says. North Carolina. All right. Well, happy anniversary. That is awesome. Let's see. Caleb and Elena, I don't think I saw them today, but they've got an anniversary on, I believe, Thursday. Does that sound right, Mark? Something like that. All right. Let's see. Right quick. Birthdays. Bobby Briggs. I know Bobby's in the nursery. David Hayes. Did I see David Hayes? Oh, right here. Yes, Bobby. Happy birthday, Bobby. I guess it was last, probably Monday or something. Tuesday, all right. David Hayes, I see you and Bobby Briggs have the same birthday. I don't know if you knew that or not, but now you do. Yeah. Karen Harless, tomorrow, happy birthday. Let's see, who else we got here? Tracy Carrier, did I see Tracy? Oh, yes. Happy birthday, Tracy. Let's see. Laura Littleford. Oh, yeah, you and Laura are like a year apart. Is that right? Or 2 years? One apart on the same day, though, right? I remember that. And who else do we have coming up? Willie. Is Willie here? I didn't hear him. I definitely didn't see him. All right, Willie's not here. Willie got a birthday coming up, too. All right. That's birthdays and anniversaries. Is there any that I missed? This is what's on our records. Any that I missed? None? All right. All right. I believe, Dr. Stevens, I believe we're ready for our lesson.
Amen. Is this on now? I think I got somebody up there.
Yeah, one. Okay. Thank you. How many Tennessee fans do we have here, football people? How many do we have here? You heard about the couple. Unfortunately, were divorcing, and the little boy had to decide where he wanted to live. Do you want to live with your mom or dad? He said, well, they're with me all the time. He said, well, where do you want to live? He said, with the Tennessee football team. They don't whip anybody. How many think that was funny? Okay. You laugh, so praise the Lord, you know. Yeah. All right. I told Marilyn that she needed to... Somebody said, why is Marilyn with you? I said, well, she's with me most of the time, and I'm going to take her out Tuesday for McDonald's. But for our 57th anniversary. But I remind people, we have a home in North Carolina we like to visit now and then, see if they're still there, the blow away or whatever. So I insist she stay home for a week and then come back here. So praise the Lord. And pray for Garner Pummel. I think Mark Garner's on his way to be with the Lord. I'll go see him today. And then John Mineta is recovering well. They took him to VA hospital. His foot was greatly infected. You know, he's had that problem. And they did blood tests, did everything else at VA, and then lost everything. So they made the doctor so upset that as a woman doctor, you women are that way. You're just powerful. And insists that he be moved to Franklin Wood Hospital. And that's where he is, and I'll see him today. But he is doing much better, so pray for him. He gets a... Yes?
He's being moved at 2 o'clock to Kingsport. Oh.
John is?
Yes, because he is going to need surgery. We just spoke with Mrs. Manette.
That's because of what?
Surgery.
He needs... Oh, so, yeah, I know. What they're going to do is go into his veins and clear them out. And his legs. That's not what they're doing?
No, they're possibly going to have to amputate the big toe up.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, we just spoke with her.
I was told yesterday it was the vein. Yeah. I was kidding because that means he won't be a vain man anymore. So, yeah. All right. Let's pray for John today and pray God's hand upon him. All right. Let's take our Bibles today and turn to the 10th chapter of the book of Genesis. We're moving right along with rapidity here. I want you to look at verse 8. We're going to look at chapters 10 and chapter 11 today. Now, he gives in chapter 10 the generations of Noah and his family. But that's not what I want to concentrate on. Matter of fact, there's names there. I doubt if any of us can pronounce them all correctly. You know, but I want you to notice here verse 8, and I want you to notice verse 9, 10, and then we're going to jump into chapter 11, because what they're doing is simply giving a genealogy here. But in chapter 10, in verse 8, and Cush begot Nimrod. Now, underlying that significant name, the word itself means to rebel. That's what his name means, to rebel. And he began to be mighty, one on the earth, one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Now, the word before is an interesting word here. The word itself literally means to be against someone. He felt he was before God. He was more important than God. And so he here is the word means before or against God, is the idea. Here, before the Lord. He was a mighty hunter before, or the idea in the Hebrew is to be against God. And verse 10, and at the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Now, from Babel, you get a great nation later on called Babylon. So from Babel, you got Babylon that will be formed, and you'll see that. And then you come to the book of Revelation, and it talks about Babylon being in Bible prophecy. It's a great nation to be in Bible prophecy. And so we see that. Now, what is he going to do here? What is this Nimrod? What is his goal? He has the same goal, and I want you to leave here for a moment, and I want you to go to the book of Psalms. Because what he does here in chapter 11 is really found there in Psalm in chapter 2. And I want you to see this. This is a very prophetic chapter here. But in those first several verses here, we find here a tremendous, this is what we call a messianic psalm. The first messianic psalm about the return of Christ. But when you read those first 4 to 6 verses, they're very interesting. That's where I want to concentrate this morning. He says, why do the heathen rage? Now, the nations today, the world, people do not like God. I want you to get that down. And here you see it so well. And as Nimrod will try to do what he does there in this chapter, He will, the Antichrist will try again at the end times to have a one world government and a one world religion. That will be the goal of the Antichrist. And that was the goal of Nimrod when we go back to chapter 11. But he says, why do the nation heathen rage and the people imagine? Under that word imagine, it's an interesting word. It's a word which means to meditate or to spend time on. The nations of the day are spending time today how they can get out from under any thought of God. I think it's working well in the United States. And we realize that. Vain thing. Now, the word vain literally means a emptiness. Now, he's going to unite that the biggest unity on this planet today is the unity against God. a unity to destroy any thoughts of God. We're seeing that greatly in our country and other countries as well. Then he says, the kings of the earth, the leaders of the earth, will set themselves. The word set here literally means to stand against, to stand against. And so the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel. Now, the word counsel is an interesting word. You could almost write the United Nations by the divided notions there. Because the United Nations is a group of people. They come to council, and what are they doing? They want to destroy any concept of God and righteousness and goodness in our country today. And I think it'd be good if we just pulled out of the United Nations and have the United Nations pull out of New York. Amen. Or they could stay there and we just exit New York. That's what we need to do. Set themselves and the rulers take counsel. The word counsel means they make appointments to gather together with one thing in mind to come up with principles and policies that are against God, the Lord, and against His. And that's interesting. Get this now. I want you, don't miss this, against the Lord and against His anointed. Who is the anointed here? Jesus. Who do you think the anointed is?
Messiah.
Who?
Messiah.
Messiah, yeah, yeah. In the New Testament, the word is anointed is translated what? Anybody know? How about Christ? It's a name for Christ in the New Testament. And so he's dealing here with the Son of God. And keep in mind, evolution is an attempt to discredit not just God, but the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was given the assignment to create the heavens and the earth. And you find that. Turn with me to in the New Testament for just a moment to Colossians. And go there to chapter 1 real quick with me, or whatever you can go with, whatever speed. You can get there in Colossians 1 here. In verse 15. Who, I'm in chapter 1 of Colossians, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and in their earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him were all things consist. He's before anything that was created. Was created by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you know who he's talking about there, look at verse back up to verse 13. He's talking about the Lord Jesus. He's the one who created. And so the attack with evolution is more than just against facts of the Bible, but against Jesus Christ personally. Do you ever notice that some of the laws they instituted down through the years and say, well, they can pray, but just can't pray in the name of who? Jesus. You know why? Because he's the one that created it all. And so we see here in this, the thought here. To go back to Psalm 2 for just a moment. And so look at verse 3. And this is the goal. The goal is verse 3 of mankind. This is their goal. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. We do not need to be under authority of God. We don't need God to be telling us what to do. We need to make our own rules for living. And they're doing that. He that sitteth in the heavens shall what? Laugh. The very fact that man thinks they're powerful enough to be able to overthrow God. The Lord shall have them in derision, and then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yea, I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Now, anybody know what city is Zion? What? Jerusalem. Jerusalem. And what do we have? We have an attack on God. We have an attack who is God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have an attack on his people, Israel. Then here he said, I will declare the decree the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. He's referring to Jesus Christ. Now the word begotten does not mean that Jesus had a beginning. It's a word of position. God has made him his firstborn, a position of influence and power. You need to understand that. Now go back to our passage. So you need to understand the same goal that Nimrod will have here will be the same goal that he will have in the years to come in our time. Tonight I'm dealing with Bible prophecy and be doing that for several weeks. And we're going to see some things tonight. Very interesting. So let's go now to chapter 11 back of Genesis. So we see the rest is simply here is what we have is genealogies in the text. So we go to chapter 11. Now have a pencil handy or a note to take some thoughts here. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. In other words, we see unity here. I've already said it. Whenever mankind gets together, do you ever notice what God, he separated nations and by seas and waters and everything, and we've overruled all that now. We can get together pretty good. You can get together. I can call my kids in Ponape, 9,000 miles away, with this telephone right here, just like this. It's amazing how we've been able to come together, and some of it's very good, some of it's very evil, and we recognize that. It's a, so the one speech, here you have a one world society, man coming together, but they have a purpose because man has a sin nature and we see it in full force here. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found the plain. Now that's the whole, that's basically, I believe here, you remember the population wasn't that big back in those days. They're coming together. Going to form a one world society, even as they will in the last days. And we have what we call here, the nations are breaking down the barriers between them. And then we're going to have a one world government and a one world church. That's through the, I call it the ecumeniac movement, not the ecumenical movement, whereby we put down all thoughts of doctrine and truth. When I moved to Charleston, South Carolina, I found that our school, which was part of our church, we had a church about 500, had a church there. We built it up to about 650, nearly 700. And anyway, in our school, when I arrived there, I noticed we had teachers there that weren't part of our church and had doctrines that differed from our ministry. So I had a year to clean that mess up. And why? Doctrine's important, folks. You know, don't ever cast out doctrine. I appreciate what the deacons are saying there's no negotiability. We don't negotiate those first 11 pages of your constitution. We just don't negotiate those. They're not negotiable because they're doctrine. And doctrine should not be. And then we're going to find a statement mentioned three times by man and the fourth time by God. Look at verse 3. And they said one to another, go to, let us. Look there, if you will. And he says, let us. That's what the being phrase I want to emphasize. You're going to find it three times. Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime and they had for mortar. There's a big difference between a rock and a brick. My wife was always correcting me. She says, my wife loves rocks. I mean, I have to stop alongside of the road if she sees one she thinks would just look great in our yard. Now, I can say all that because she's not here. And if you gossip, God will judge you. And I'm always. And she found not long ago a place where we can get more rocks. And I go over there and I get rocks and take my truck and get rocks. And I said to her, honey, why do you like rocks? Well, then it dawned on me, she got a husband with a hard head like a rock. Maybe there's a similarity, I don't know. But rocks and bricks are two different things. Rocks, God made. Hello? Bricks, man-made. So he's talking about a man-made society. And that verse is symbolic as they came together and they're making this, burn them through, they for stone and slime. This is a symbolic of secularism. Secularism is full of bricks, man-made philosophies. What is secularism? Anybody can define for me what secularism is? Anyone? All right, let me help you. Secularism is the exclusion of religious training. That's what secularism is. The exclusion of religious training. Now that is the first thing they did here, and the first thing that took place in our country to get rid of the rock philosophy. Our country was founded on a rock, the solid rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe our country was founded on biblical principles. We're going to get rid of the rock. We'll replace it with brick. And we see here, and we realize exclusion. What's the first thing they did? We'll take prayer out of public schools. After all, that's their reason is they thought Thomas Jefferson had the wall of separation between church and state. That is not true. What that he intended in that Constitution when he wrote that was that the state, the country, the government could not control churches. But churches would be able to influence government. That was his intention. They've thrown that out now. And so we see secularism everywhere we turn around. We see it so well. You take our football teams. When they kneel, sometimes they're not pledge allegiance. And, you know, I kneel when I pray. I stand when I pledge allegiance. They want to reverse. They want to take that away. So we have so many places. And if you read your Constitution, providence, referring to God, is mentioned several times in the Declaration of Independence, I wanted to say. Do you realize that in our Constitution, can't remember the article, that whenever a bill was passed, the president could not sign that on a Sunday. Had to wait till the next week because that was considered religious. Government was there, had government influence on it. Well, our founding fathers. But aren't they making our founding fathers look bad? Yeah, because that's the bricks. We got to get rid of the rock. Secondly, look at verse 4. So the first one is, the first let us, is secularism. Look at verse 4. And they said, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. The first one was secularism. The second one is demonism. Demonism. Now, you've all heard of Jack and the Beanstalk, right? This is not Jack and the Beanstalk. When they built that tower to here, and look here, if you will, let me help you here. Verse 4, and they said, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heavens. That's plural. Why? How many heavens are there? Three, right? You have the heaven of our environment, and you have the stars, the moon, the second heaven. But where's the third heaven? That's where God's throne. They said, we're going to try if we can. They knew they couldn't build it up third heaven. But their idea of that text is, we're going to worship the stars, the planets. We'll have a new God. And demonism took over. Demonism. You believe in demonism? You believe demonism is real today? It's very real today. Very real. For example, I didn't write the chapter down. Turn to somewhere in the book of Revelation. I'll get to it. Go to Revelation. Go somewhere there, and I'll try to find it. See if I can find it. I hope. Stay with me. Yes, go to chapter 18. Look at verse 23. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. He's referring to Babylon. And where did Babylon come from? Where? Babel. See, this is a man's attempt to get rid of God. And no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom, that's the church, and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy what? Sorceries. It's the Greek word for pharmaceutical, for drugs. I believe today we're living in a drug demon culture. I believe it is the devil's last attempt to try to get a hold of man's mind through sorceries, pharmaceutical, drugs. And I'm referring, we got all kinds of drugs taking over our country, don't we? By the way, I'm not referring to just illegal drugs. I may probably get in trouble here, but what are you going to do, fire me? I'm leaving anyway. I think today, if we're not careful, the drug society, which are being legalized through medicine, can well destroy the minds of people. For 50 years, I have visited hospital after hospital of people who have been there because they took the wrong medicine and were drugged. Now, I'm not suggesting my wife takes blood pressure medicine. Living with me, what would you expect? Legitimate drugs. But it is interesting to note that a lot of the things, have you ever noticed on TV when they tell you to take this thing is going to help you, they list all the things it may do to you? Isn't that interesting? We're living in a society that will numb the mind of people. We need to be careful. This is demonism. Now, I'm not suggesting if you take drugs that you have time, but your doctor, that you're demon-possessed. I don't mean that. No Christian can be demon-possessed. But I do believe there are influences to take over. I know people who are in depression, discouragement, very deeply. And I think some of that is because of those reasons. Not all of it. I remember a lady coming to see me one day, and she said, "I am so depressed." And one of the first things I do is have them go to a doctor. She came back 2 weeks later, and she said, "I am allergic. I think it was wheat." And when I got off of that, I got my mind. I'm free. So there are some physical things that cause depression. But there are other things that are out there to oppress the mind and the people's thinking. And so he said here, make a tower. What was their goal? To worship the creation and not the creator. So that's the second one. Now look here with me, if you will. So you have secularism, bricks replacing stones, demonism, and we have here that. And then thirdly, look at the third there in verse 4. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. By that one right, humanism. That's humanism. Now let me tell you what humanism is. Humanism is humanizing God, deifying man, and therefore minimizing sin. Think with me. Humanizing God. How many of you heard somebody say, "Well, the man upstairs"? Did you ever hear that expression? Or, "He's my buddy." God's not your buddy. He's your friend. But we don't put him on the level of ourselves. And our society is putting God on the level of ourselves. Then he's deifying man. That's exactly, if you go back to Genesis chapter 3 for just a moment, what did Satan say to Eve in verse 5? He says, "For God knoweth that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as what?" There it is. Humanism is not only humanizing God, making him on our level, And by the way, that's exactly why in the many of the churches are going to secular, well, demonic music in their churches. We just want to make everybody feel comfortable. God is not interested in making you feel comfortable. He's interested in making you a better Christian. And sometimes that hurts as God works on us. He not only humanizes God, deifies man, but therefore minimize sin. Do you ever notice that the things we used to consider wrong maybe 50 years ago, we don't have a problem with today? Hello? So you're going to step on my toe? Get him out of the aisle then. Get him out of the aisle preaching. What we used to consider. I have found that the church and the world have always been about this far apart. But here's the world, and what we were, and here's the church, but we've just moved this direction. We're still got the same distance. Oh, maybe not. Maybe it's getting shrinking now. But we just, things we used to consider wrong, we just have no problem with. Now, I understand that where things have changed because you had no scriptural basis for them. I'm reminded of things like that. And I'm reminded of a, if I can tell this right, maybe I can, I can't remember too well. Got a photographic mind, but the film is just so old and I can't replace it. Folks came from back, old 50, 75 years ago, came from Holland and had sent a group there to visit their churches. And they went back and they were weeping. They said, you wouldn't believe it, the women are not wearing, now they can see their ankles. And he says, and the women cut their hair, and they don't have earrings. They wear makeup. Now they wear makeup, wear earrings. And they all broke down and cried. Tears ran down their cheeks and into their glass of beer. You get the point? Now, I don't drink beer. I gave that up when I got saved. But sometimes we have to understand there's some principles that are just not there we sometimes make up. But there are standards we need to have. We need to honor those standards. Now, look at verse 5. We got a quote goes here. The Lord came down to see the city. Now, when it says in verse 5, the Lord came down, doesn't, you know, God already knew. God's omnipresent. God's all-knowing. And which the children has built. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. Verse 6 is key. And they began to do. And I'll try it again. They have all one language, and this they began to do, and now nothing shall be restrained from them which they imagine or meditate on to do, because they're all one, united. And here's the fourth let us. Remember those three? Secularism, humanism, demonism. Here, God too, let us go down there and confound the language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Different languages. God had the purpose for that. Now, I wish our missionaries could all speak, understand these languages. Now, I have a problem. I know three languages. My hardest one is Southern. I'll tell you right now, I know English a little bit and some Greek. I think I know Greek better than I know Southern, and you'll say some things down here. How you doing? I see it. You're what? No, I'm not making fun of you. That's your culture. That's your language. Up in Ohio, no one washes their clothes. They wash their clothes. So we all have those dialects. Huh? What? How many know what I'm talking about? All right. We'll get back to this because our time is up, and hoping that God will. So you're dismissed. Buddy, can I see you a few minutes? All right. Why are you sitting here?